Luke 2 verse 8 says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. For today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.' And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told."
Thank you, Emma. And just a reminder, it's about 12 days to Christmas. And some of you are getting very excited about that. Others of you are thinking, oh, I've got so much to do. But in a year that's been quite tough, I want you just to think about some good news that you've heard or you've experienced for yourself over these maybe these last few months. Maybe someone in your family's got married, and it's great to have some people here who've had a wedding in the family this year, and I did hear a bit of a whoop there. Maybe this year you've had children born into your family. Maybe you've had children, or your grandparents, and you've got some new grandchildren. Maybe you've moved house. Perhaps you have a new puppy this year, like we do in our house. Great news most of the time. And or maybe you're a Tottenham supporter, and you are now sat on the top of the Premier League, and you are full of joy at this point, but you wonder what's going to happen next. But when we have good news, it fills us with that sense of joy, doesn't it? We have that sense of excitement. Joy in the dictionary is defined as the emotion of great delight or happiness caused by something exceptionally good or satisfying. Just think about that. Is that something you've experienced? Something that is emotionally of great delight. You see, the Christmas story is one of joy, great joy to everyone. And I just want to think about that this morning, because we're going to focus on the joy of good news, the joy that the shepherds experienced as they heard about joy. Now, you are sitting there thinking, I know this story. It's a bit like watching repeats, isn't it, on the TV. You sit there and you go, oh, I've seen this one. But you see, the thing is, we become very familiar with these things, and sometimes we actually lose the real joy that is there. So for a moment, I just want you to sit down and put your hand on your chest and just feel your heart. Okay? Now, your heart is working all the time, by the way, but you don't realize it, do you? You just take that for granted. You know, your heart beats probably around 112,000 beats a day. But I bet most of the time you don't even realize it's going on. It pumps 2,000 gallons of blood around your body, but you don't realize it because you've just taken it for granted. And as you sit there going, yeah, that is quite amazing, isn't it? That this thing inside me keeps me alive, keeps the blood going round. We take that for granted. In the same way, I think we take the Christmas story for granted. We think to ourselves, yeah, I've heard this. And I want this morning for us to recapture the joy of Christmas. And I hope that when we leave this place or at home this morning, you'll go, yeah, it is amazing, isn't it, what God has done for us. So we've heard the gospel account written by Luke, the story of the shepherds. We know that Jesus was born in Bethlehem to Mary and Joseph, and they must have had great joy in the stable as they were together. But you see, there is so much joy in this story. And this morning, I'm just going to talk about three things when it comes to the joy of the Christmas story, the joy of the shepherds. Firstly, the joy is for everyone. And that was declared by the angel. He said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." And that is all people in the world for all time. That there has been born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And what we need to realize that this birth is not just any birth. This is not just an ordinary baby. But this is the arrival of God on our planet. This is God taking on human flesh. Isaiah says of this child, he will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is the child that's born. And he's born, as the angel said, born for all people, born for us. And we should be whooping, shouldn't we? I know it's Christmas, it's a bit cold. Maybe we should be just inside going, wow, that's amazing, isn't it? But you see, we've become so familiar with the story. Let's see what the angel Gabriel said to Mary. He said, the baby born, you give him the name of Jesus because he will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. This is the King. King Jesus is going to be born. Mary was told that is the child that's going to be within you, born to the world. And then to Joseph, Gabriel said, she will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. You are to call him Emmanuel. This is the Christmas story, and we sit there and we're kind of quite content going, yeah, it's good, isn't it? It's not just good, it is amazing that God should come, God should take on flesh and become a human being and experience exactly what we experience, to feel, to have hands, to have a heart that beats. That's what Jesus took on. God himself took that on. And we need to think about that. We need to process that. And it should cause us joy within our hearts. And if we don't, we just need to check whether our heart's still going, really, don't we? Are we still alive? Because the story is one of amazing joy. And what I think is amazing is that actually the message was delivered to a bunch of shepherds. These shepherds were watching in the fields and an angel descends. How scary that must have been. Some bloke in a nighty coming down from the sky, blazing in light and just saying, I've got news for you guys. You see, the shepherds were really, they weren't a great bunch of people. Do you know, when we do the nativity play, there's probably a list of characters that children want to be, isn't there? You know, there's the girl who wants to be Mary and hold the baby, and there's the guy who wants to be the shepherd. The innkeeper, of course, is quite important. Nobody wants to be the donkey. But shepherds, you know, that's not a bad job, is it? If you get shepherds, that's okay. It's better than being part of the crowd, you know, because you don't want to be a part of the crowd. But to be a shepherd, you think, oh, that's okay. But actually, to be a shepherd was pretty rubbish. Because shepherds were known as kind of, they were people who were kind of unremarkable. They were on minimum wage or even less. And they lived in fields with sheep. Now, what kind of job is that? They weren't trusted. In fact, a shepherd would be someone who was not able to go to the temple and worship, not able to go to synagogue because, you see, he wasn't able to keep religious rules. He was not allowed to give witness in court, give a testimony. It wasn't accepted because the man was a shepherd. And yet the angel turns up to these people and says, I've got good news for you. Why would God do that? Why? Because God wanted to show that the good news wasn't just for the religious people, the people who kept the rules, but the good news was actually for everyone, from the highest to the lowest of the low. In fact, a third of people, when they were asked, which characters in the Christmas story do you relate to most? Over a third of people said, actually, we relate to the shepherds. Because good news came to them. They were unworthy. They were unimpressive. They were unwanted by people. They were unimportant. And good news came to them. And so the good news comes to us. And it is amazing news. I have been accused by one member of staff of being a bit of a Scrooge, a bit of, you know, humbug, because I'm not wearing my Christmas jumper today. But what I want to say is that actually, I love Christmas. I just take a bit of a while to warm up. But you see, I think that we need to take a leaf from the book of the film called Elf. How many people have watched Elf, sat on the city? Yeah, love watching that. I have to watch it every year before Christmas. But I love Buddy the Elf because Buddy the Elf gets so excited about Christmas. And he says the best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear. You may remember that bit in the film. Yeah, you do, don't you? He loves that bit, does Stuart? But you see, actually, there's a sense where he has captured the joy of Christmas. Maybe not in the same way I'm thinking about this morning, but the joy of Christmas is in his heart. And you know, he can't stop singing about it. And maybe that joy, the real joy of Christmas, needs to start to come out of us. We need to experience it. Because a saviour has been born for you. For you. Someone's said this once. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. So God sent us a saviour. And the good news is for you and for you. And maybe just under your breath, you need to say, for me. He came for me. He came to save me. So joy is for everyone. But the second thing I want to say is that joy is to be experienced. See, the angel said, it says in verse 15, it says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. You see, they had an invitation, didn't they? They basically told, you know, the Saviour's been born. You can see him. You just need to pop down to Bethlehem, which was probably a couple of miles away. Pop down there and you can meet him for yourself. And so that's exactly what they did. This was the sign they would find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And so off they went. They took that journey, which probably took them half an hour. And then they found the baby. And what happens at that point is they are actually totally transformed because they've had an encounter with Jesus. It says they spoke about it and the people they told were amazed. They returned glorifying God and they praised God. You see, they met Christ in the manger and their lives were transformed. And that's the brilliant thing about Christianity, isn't it? It's not just all up here. We don't just sit down and say, well, actually, you know, I believe this, I believe that, that makes me a Christian. Christianity is about experiencing the living Christ through the Holy Spirit in our lives. We can know him for ourselves. We can experience the joy because we can know the joy giver. And you know, the wonderful thing is this happened 2,000 years ago, but it is still true for us today. We too can be transformed. We can know the joy of meeting Christ for ourselves. And the invitation is still open. It's an invitation for forgiveness. It's an invitation for love, for hope, for peace, for eternal life. And all those things are kind of wrapped up in joy. If we receive those things, then our life is transformed. And joy will fill our lives. I want to say today, the invitation is for those who don't know Christ yet. It is still open. And we can know this Christ, the baby in a manger, we can know him as a living Saviour if we come with honesty, humility, and a desire to meet him. If we submit our lives to him, if we admit, if we believe, and if we commit our lives to him, we can know him for ourselves. And that is the joy and the wonder of Christmas. We can experience what it means to know a Saviour. As I sit here, and I stand here, and you're sat there, I'm just looking around the room, and I look at different people, and I think, how's that joy? How's the joy within you? Do you still have that joy that you had when you came to Christ, perhaps many years ago? David in Psalm 51 says, restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. And maybe for some of us, the joy that we had maybe 2, 5, 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago, is it still there? Is it still bubbling away that we love Christ and we love Christmas because we're celebrating his coming? You see, we can experience the joy today just as the shepherds did. The last thing I want to talk about is there is a joy to be shared. It says in verse 17, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said. And it goes on in verse 20, saying, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which is just as they had been told. You see, the shepherds went away transformed, and they started to share with others what had happened. It says that they told other people. They must have been an amazing story, wasn't it? You know, you meet Seth, the shepherd, and he's coming down the road. He's got this big grin on his face. You think he's been, you know, maybe out drinking a couple of pints of whatever they used to drink. But no, he comes along and he says, I've met a baby. And you're going, eh? He says, but I've met Christ. I have met the Christ. And they started to tell people what had happened. I've seen an angel, then loads of angels, and then we went and met Mary and Joseph, and the baby in the stable. And people were going, wow, that is amazing. Interesting, isn't it? Because shepherds weren't allowed to testify in court, and yet God gave them the job of telling others. They were not theologians. They were just witnesses. They had met the Christ. And so they were busy telling people. But the other thing you have to say is these guys were transformed. They were not religious people. But they went away glorifying God, thanking God, praising God for what they had seen and heard. These men were on fire, literally. You could not shut them up. They could not hold it in. They were carriers and spreaders of good news. The joy was upon them. It was my birthday this week. Thank you for happy birthdays. Yes, thank you. But last Saturday, Tracy and I, they arranged for our kids to come round, which was lovely. So we had a bit of a family thing, and we had to socially distance. So we all sat outside, 7 o'clock at night, totally freezing, eating fish and chips, which was lovely. And we decided that to keep warm, we needed a fire pit. So we built our fire and put it in the middle. We all sat around telling stories. It was lovely. Opening presents. It was great. Until you went in the house and all you could smell was smoke. Oh, man. So the house was smoky. I was smoky. Tracy was smoky. She's taken 4 days to wash the smoke out of her hair. Crazy. It was on us, and you couldn't get rid of it. And I was just thinking, do you know what? That's a bit like these shepherds, wasn't it? They had something that had permeated their lives, and it was being spread, and Everybody could smell the joy, could sense the joy. And you know, that's exactly what the people of God should be like today. As we approach Christmas, can people smell joy upon us? Can they go, do you know what? There's something different about this person. They have a joy, they have an excitement about Christmas. And it's not about wearing Christmas jumpers. It's not about wrapping presents. It's about the fact that Christ is at the center of their lives. I just want you to think this Christmas, how are you going to share the joy that you have with others? We have some amazing events coming up. We've got some outdoor carol services. And, you know, we're putting it on social media. It's out there, you know, and people are kind of looking at it. But, you know, the best way to get people to come to something like that is word of mouth. You know, I was thinking about those parties that some young people have. Some of those perhaps illegal parties. Very large parties. They put it on social media and say, you know, oh, we're having a party. And then it's by word of mouth. Did you know John's having a party? We can go round. His parents are away. Yes! And then, you know, 10 people turn up, 20 people turn up, 30 people, 40, 50, 60, and the house is totally wrecked. I know, it's not good. But actually, the word of mouth is the way to spread the message. And what are you going to do this Christmas to spread the message? Sadly, we've talked about the virus and COVID-19, and we've talked about super spreaders. But I want you and you and you to be super spreaders of the good news of Christmas, that we might talk to others, that we might tell them and invite them to come and hear about the Christ who came at Christmas. To spread and share the joy wherever we go. Because you see, the truth is, most people are missing the point of Christmas. Yeah. I read this story in 1903 in December. After many attempts, the Wright brothers were successful in getting their flying machine off the ground. You might remember that, or probably not. Okay, they were thrilled. And so what they did, they telegraphed this message to their sister Catherine. We have actually flown 120 feet. We'll be home for Christmas. And so Catherine was so excited, she ran down to the local newspaper office, she spoke to the editor, and she showed him the message. And he glanced at it and he said, how nice, the boys will be home for Christmas. And what he missed was the fact that actually these two guys had got off the ground and flown amazingly 120 feet. And you know, most people are missing the real meaning of Christmas. They see the presents, they see the trees, they go shopping. And it's for us, the church, to spread the message and the joy of Christmas. Because they're not going to find it anywhere else. And I would challenge you, how are you sharing Christmas with others? I just want to finish just thinking about two verses that we find at the end of the passage. The first one is this. It says, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in our heart. The word pondered in Greek is the word symbolou. Okay, so you've learned some Greek this morning. Symbolou. Symbolou. Great word, isn't it? I love it. Are we symbolouing this Christmas? But you see, actually, there's something precious in that, isn't it? We very often we miss this bit, but Mary kind of had this experience within our heart. It was really deep and precious. Christ had been born, and for all of us, we should be pondering these things, and they should give us joy, and they should make us wonder, and they should cause us to worship God who's given his son. So that's verse 19. And then verse 20, it says, the shepherds returned glorifying, praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. It says in the Message version, the shepherders returned and let loose, glorifying and praising God for everything they had heard and seen. I love that expression. You see, there's Mary kind of sitting down and going, oh, this is precious. But there's the shepherds going bonkers, glorifying God. They're letting loose and saying, hallelujah, praise God for what we have seen. And for me, the two are what we should be doing as a church. Firstly, we should have that sense of awe and wonder. This is wonderful. But also, we should be letting loose, praising God, glorifying Him. We're going to do that in a minute. And I hope that you this morning, within the building, we let loose and glorify God. But also, people who are at home, let loose and truly glorify God for what He's done. Those two things are what we, the church, should be doing. Pondering, symbolu, what God has done, but also glorifying God, praising God, and letting others know what Christ means to us and why He came. Let's pray together, shall we? I'm going to pray that the joy of Christmas, the real joy of Christmas, might descend upon us, His people. We might be willing to open our hearts and share it with others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You for Christmas. We want to thank You for the joy that comes at this time of year, because Christ the Saviour has been born for us. And Lord, I want to pray that, first of all, that we would truly come to understand what it means for You to send Your Son into this world, that He might be born of a virgin, that He might come and live amongst us and experience every human emotion that we have. Help us to understand what it cost Him to give up the glory of heaven and walk on this earth, and to lay down His life so that we might be born again. And I pray too, Father, that the joy of Christmas might just fill our hearts and lives. It might seep out of us, and other people might see that we are different because we have encountered and met Christ for ourselves. And we pray that You would help us to open our mouths and witness to others of what He means to us, and the joy that they too can know if they come to meet Him. So, Father God, fill us with Your joy this Christmas. Fill us and send us out, we pray. And we ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen.